With the NBA draft less than 48 hours away, the rumor mill is now cranked up all across the NBA, and even though the Rockets don't have any picks themselves at the moment, they are certainly not excluded from the list. In fact, today, on this Tuesday, June 18th, they appear to be headlining it with a series of new rumors surrounding Chris Paul, the potential pursuit by the Rockets of Jimmy Butler, and maybe even the pursuit down the road of Al Horford. Nothing concrete linking Houston to him just yet, but with news that he is opting out of the final year of his existing deal in Boston, you can certainly draw some lines between Horford historically and the Rockets and see why down the road there could be some intrigue depending on how things shake out for both the Celtics and the Rockets over the first wave of free agency and or the days leading up to it in late June, in which some of the intentions of the top free agents to be become more clear. Anyway, to discuss all those rumors and a lot more, welcome in to another off-season episode here at Locked On Rockets, your podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. Today's show is brought to you by our friends over at Twillery, where if you go to twillery.com/lockedon, you can use the promo code LOCKEDON for $25 off on their complete line of apparel. We're also sponsored by Gallery Furniture, where the Red Hot Summer Sale is now underway. Visit any Houston area Gallery Furniture location or go to galleryfurniture.com to take advantage of all the specials. As we chat this Tuesday evening, June 18th, I already mentioned off the top what we're going to be discussing, NBA rumors of the week. Three big names within the last 24 hours or so, Chris Paul, Jimmy Butler, Al Horford. Two of the three have direct ties to the Rockets, or at least the rumors in this case. Stephen A. Smith mentioning that James Harden and Jimmy Butler have been talking a lot this offseason, trying to recruit Jimmy. Stephen A. mentioning the Rockets as a viable destination. We'll get into that more in the second segment. We'll also talk about Al Horford, that potential possibility, in the third and final segment. But here off the top, as we speak this Tuesday, I want to get to the news of the day, which is first a report from Vince Goodwill of Yahoo Sports that Chris Paul wants out of Houston with the relationship between Chris Paul, James Harden deemed unsalvageable, and then the subsequent denials from really everyone involved with the Rockets. Chris himself on Instagram, Daryl Morey, who did an interview with Jonathan Fagan of the Houston Chronicle. The Rockets pushed back hard on this one. Craig Ackerman, who's been a repeated guest here at Lockdown Rockets, he's with them on the team planes, talks about their relationship. Chris and James, nothing that they could see off. As far as I can tell, I'm certainly on the Rockets' side on this one. I'm not on the team plane like Craig, so I can't speak with that level of conviction, but I am at nearly every game throughout the season. We get into the locker room, we have good access, and some of the details of the Yahoo report from Vince Goodwill that mentions the relationship being unsalvageable, it's just hard for me as someone that is physically there with these guys for 8-9 consecutive months to buy into these details. I'm looking through the Yahoo story now. It says they went nearly 2 months without speaking to each other during the season, that during practices they clashed, petty acts. Folks, we're there for a lot of that. I never saw those two go a game without speaking to one another. They're in constant communication, and if you watch them on the floor, it's even more so. Now, is there some tension at times? Sure. There's been enough smoke this offseason that I think, especially coming off a second-round loss to Golden State, that this was the measuring stick that they said all season long they fell short of expectations, and these guys are the leaders of the team. They're Hall of Famers. In the case of James Harden, the reigning MVP. In the case of Chris Paul, maybe the greatest or second greatest point guard in the history of the game. They always are going to put it on themselves that maybe if we do things just a little bit different, we could have gotten it done. They're going to ask, why didn't we do more? They're not going to look at it through the lens of, oh, we don't have enough talent. No, they're always going to be, whether it's fair or unfair, looking at everything that they can control, how they play, who gets the touches, and where, and wondering, if I did this differently, would this result have been better? That's how they're wired. They're competitors. And I'm sure, especially with Chris as notoriously cutthroat as he is, I'm sure there's hard feelings from time to time. But as Jonathan Fagan of the Houston Chronicle referenced, it's commonplace. If you're around the Rockets, you know that Chris dishes it out and he can also take it. You'll see PJ Tucker get in their face. That's the type of relationship that they have. And this offseason, Jonathan, in his interview with Daryl Morey, shared some examples. Daryl said that they've been FaceTiming himself, James, and Chris throughout the offseason about free agents to be. And in fact, Daryl said 50 of them. So there's really no evidence that I can see that there's been any of the disconnect that's written about in this Yahoo story. Tenuous environment, went months without speaking to one another, petty acts and practices and games, there's no respect. It says Chris Paul asked for a trade and Harden said it's either him or me. There is nothing, as someone that is around the team every single day and physically at Toyota Center when they're at home, I have seen nothing to suggest any of this is true. And there is value in that. I don't know Vince Goodwill, so I'm not going to say that he's making anything up, but I've never even seen him at Toyota Center. This is a case where when the allegations are this serious, when we're talking about two guys that are the leaders of an organization not even speaking to one another, there's also an anecdote that Harden has not returned Chris Paul's calls this offseason. They haven't been in communication, which is pretty easy to deny, as Daryl Morey did. Also, Chris Paul himself denied it, as mentioned earlier. That's noteworthy. When you have allegations that are this personal and this specific, you really need to be skeptical if the person can't speak from their own experience. Because sources, I don't think Vince Goodwill is outright lying. I would not accuse anyone of that. And too often these issues get oversimplified to where on one side you have people that think, oh, it's all fake news and the person's making it up. And then the other side, they think, how can you accuse this journalist of making up information? It's usually not that cut and dry on either side. I don't think the report is made up. I don't think he has an axe to grind with the Rockets organization. Now, I've seen some of his tweets being critical of the Rockets and James Harden's style of play in particular. Look, a lot of guys have aesthetic biases. I do myself, but I wouldn't make up a lie even about people that I don't find aesthetically pleasing. There's a huge gulf between a few tweets and the guy not being a big favorite of a certain player or style of play and then saying he's going to outright lie about this kind of stuff. I wouldn't go that far. But the flip side is that there's far too many people that are acting as if, well, if you dispute the story, then you must be calling a guy a liar. And in that case, why would you say that? You've never met him. He's a good guy, yada, yada, yada. What happens a lot in these situations, and it happens even more when the person is not really physically there, which Vincent Goodwill is not in Houston, there's a level of detachment. And so sources play a bigger role. And in this case, there are so many plausible sources. There can be family members, friends, every NBA player has a circle. There could be someone that's upset, wanting to push an agenda. There are staff members, there's turnover in the organization around the NBA every offseason. I'm not going to speculate as to who or what it could be because it wouldn't be fair. What I will say is that it's not really that dissimilar to last June when Chris Broussard ran with a story about there being tension between Chris Paul and the Rockets over his contract. That was a week before free agency. And then that weekend, there was a report from someone at Forbes that said Chris Paul and the Lakers were locked in. What happened? Literally at the stroke of 11 p.m. Houston time, midnight on the East Coast, July 1st, the first moment of free agency, Chris Paul had a tweet lined up with a picture saying, run it back. And the news broke that he had agreed to an extension. And of course, it didn't happen just then. It had been locked in for some time. Yet there was still a report and talk even a week before free agency from guys with much larger followings than Vince Goodwill, by the way, that ended up being not true. And I don't think in any of them that people are lying. That's where so many of these reports and these discussions online, when we kind of go back and forth about how valid a story is this time of year when so much of it is based on anonymous sources. No, I don't think that Vince Goodwill or most sources around the NBA this time of year, you don't get to that type of level, are lying. However, I also don't think that means that their information is necessarily valid. What happens is that there are a lot of sources that they do have some ties, and if you're a journalist, then I can see where they have more insight than you do, and certainly to some degree, you want to make steps to believe that it's credible, and some journalists are better than others at doing that. But even myself, I try my best, and there have been times that I've been misled by sources. It happens. In this case, I don't know who it is, but I think that it's a combination of someone with an agenda, someone forced a misleading story, and between there being a few stories already out there about a little bit of tension after Game 6, Chris and James looking in the mirror, perhaps looking at the other guy, wondering, what can we do differently? Should we be trying a different style? Those are all natural reflections, especially from competitors in the heat of the moment. They'll get over it, move on, they'll refocus, perhaps even add talent in the offseason, hopefully Jimmy Butler, more on that in a few minutes. I think all of that's normal. Nationally, of course, there are a lot of hot take shows that try and spin it into more than it is. So you take something that already has a little bit of smoke, and then you add this to it, and I think for someone who's not in Houston, it's easy to put two and two together and feel like the original reporting sort of runs in the same vein as what he is hearing, and that makes him more likely to run with the story. In this case, what I think Vince Goodwill is missing, and if you're in Houston, you would know this, so many of these accusations are physically verifiable. Now, I know we're not technically in the locker room when Mike D'Antoni is giving his address immediately after or before a game, but other than that, there's a lot of access, and there's plenty of people besides just the players and coaches that are on the team planes. If they were literally not speaking to one another, do you know how many people would be in the loop on that? And if there had been a trade demand by Chris Paul, you know how many good journalists there are on the Rockets beat? Jonathan Fagan of The Chronicle, Tim McMahon of ESPN, Kelly Eco of The Athletic. Then nationally, there's guys like Woj, Sam Amick. There are so many great journalists here in Houston, around the entire NBA, and none of them have reported this story. Now, Shams Charania pointed a little bit some dysfunction. That's probably too strong of a word, but at least a disconnect between the two towards the end of Game 6. But it wasn't anything remotely close to this story today. I think that it's largely not true. I'm not going to accuse Vincent of lying. I just think he was fed bad information from a source, and I don't know who it is, but it's someone with an agenda. It happens. And I think that's the way we need to frame it, and it's why this time of year you need to maintain a healthy degree of skepticism. I wouldn't leap as far as to say that if you don't like a report, then just say, oh, it's fake news, it's all BS, they're just pulling stuff out of thin air. No, I think even if they have an aesthetic preference that runs against yours, most people would not do that. I think most of these people, including Vincent, from what I've heard, I know Matt Moore will vouch for him, and I respect Matt a heck of a lot. I wouldn't accuse anyone, especially someone that I've never met, of going to those lengths. What I will say is that in this business, it's very easy. I have been told some things by sources that were extremely confident and definitely had some connections that ended up being not true. And sometimes I was lucky enough just not to run with it. Sources, especially when they're given the ability to be anonymous, will typically run with a lot more than they're fully confident with, because being anonymous gives them cover. And then you combine that with how little Vince has been in Houston himself. If there's one criticism I would put on Vince for this, I can't believe that he and Yahoo ran with this story without more of a Houston presence, because so much of this was very easily pushed back by the Rockets by virtue of being able to point to people like Craig Ackerman on the team plane who physically were there to see these types of interactions. So it's very difficult to run with that story and not check it against the very basic things such as, hey, let's talk to some of the people that actually observed them and will go on the record and say what they saw. That is what I would push back against. There should have been more checking. I don't think it was made up. I just think there's some people that, when given anonymity, they'll go a little bit far in terms of, here's a narrative, let's pile on, and of course it drives clicks, and you get today's result. At the end of the day, I think it's a relative non-story. Are there tensions? Sure, because when you lose and you fall short of expectations and you have two max guys like Chris Paul and James Harden that are now in their 30s, or James is about to be, neither has won a title, there's a ton of pressure. So naturally, they're going to look in the mirror, they're going to look all around the organization, see what they can do differently. I think that's healthy. This, not speaking to one another, demanding a trade, that is wildly different. I have seen nothing to indicate it's gotten anywhere near that far. I don't expect it to. And actually, I could see this being a bit of a galvanizing force to see people nationally putting this much shade on the organization that clearly don't really have much of an idea how this team actually runs, how they actually interact, because they're not here in Houston. Folks, I could see James and Chris, and we've already seen this to some degree with how Chris came back within an hour on Instagram responding, I could see this being a rallying cry, something that going forward in the next season that they use to put a chip on their shoulder and show the world why this is so wrong. I think it would be a mistake to assume that at this point, but it's certainly possible. All I will say in closing is that as someone that's around the team on a regular basis, I go to nearly every home game. I try and go to a lot of practices. I'm there always before the game. I try and stick around when I can after, if I'm not immediately doing a post-game podcast. Point is, we get a lot of access. Those of us that are credentialed NBA media, you get backstage, the tunnel, the locker room. it's pretty easy to see these guys. Of course, you see them at practice, which makes the idea that they're not talking about another practice really easy to refute as someone that's there. As someone that's actually been in Houston, I can't vouch for any of it. In fact, in many cases, I've seen right the opposite. I saw many times during the playoffs in which they did have conversations with one another and seemed to interact in a very friendly way and encouraging way towards one another. Are there frustrations? Yes, because they're trying to win. It's a hard sport. We saw last year in Utah in the playoffs when Chris got in James's face. And guess what? They won the last three games of that series, and then they went up 3-2 on the vaunted Warriors with KD before Chris Paul's hamstring went out. This type of stuff happens. It's not all sunshine and roses behind the scenes in the NBA. When the stakes are this high and the juices of competition are flowing, yeah, there's going to be a few incidents. And if you have an agenda, you can use any of those incidents, blow them out of proportion, take them out of context, and try and make them seem representative of some larger problem. In reality, it's just the way the NBA works. If you are a contender, and especially if you have two stars, two Hall of Famers, like James Harden and Chris Paul, I don't see anything to this story from everything that I have seen in person. And granted, that's not everything. I understand there are things that physically I can't see, although it sounds like Jonathan Fagan, who's also on the road with them, seems to see it the Rockets' way as well. Certainly Craig Ackerman does, the play-by-play broadcaster who's on the flight. I imagine Matt Thomas sees many of the same things, and so on and so forth. At this point, I would not lose any sleep over it. And if anything, I could see it as something they might even rally around in the weeks and months ahead. There's a lot of time to see how it plays out. But at the end of the day, I think this is something that's a relative non-story. I'm sure the Rockets are frustrated that they have to put out these fires. But really, in terms of what the impact is, I think there might be a rallying effect. I definitely don't think it's something, by the way, I've seen some talk, could it negatively impact them heading into free agency? I don't think so. Look, it's a big deal on Twitter because none of us are able to peek behind the curtain all that much. So a Twitter guy with 31,000 followers, it might seem like a big deal. Well, guess what? If you're Jimmy Butler or Al Horford or anyone on the free agent market, you've got James Harden's cell phone number. You've got Chris Paul's. And if you're skeptical that they're telling the same story, guess what? You can get on a FaceTime with both of those guys and air it out. We can't do that. So people on social media, the narrative is often driven by these types of stories, even if they aren't true, and it's annoying. But I don't think it's going to drive the narrative for free agents and maybe coaching hires, whatever it may be, and people saying, well, I consider Houston, but maybe not, because now it appears unstable. No, the people that are going to be making these decisions, they can air it out, right, with James Harden, Chris Paul, Daryl Morey, Mike D'Antoni, whoever they want. And one guy with 31,000 followers and a byline at Yahoo Sports is really not going to make that much of an impact when it comes to the guys who will actually be making decisions in the weeks and months ahead. So I would say, as far as free agency, it's a non-story. And as far as the season ahead, if anything, it might be something that they rally around heading towards training camp in September and the season, wanting to get off clearly to a better start than they did a year ago, the 11-14. Who knows? Perhaps this is the kind of kick in the pants that they need to prove everyone wrong and be ready to go from the outset next season. Now, one guy that could further help them be ready from the outset next season is Jimmy Butler. That possibility appears as big as ever based on a few media reports this week from Stephen A. Smith and from Daryl Morey making the media rounds. We'll talk about those in our second segment coming up. But for now, I want to tell you about our friends over at Gallery Furniture, where they've kicked off the summer with red hot savings on select items during the Red Hot Summer Sale. Stop by any convenient Houston area Gallery Furniture location at 6006 North Freeway, 7227 West Grand Parkway South, or 2411 Post Oak Boulevard to take advantage of 40 to 60% savings on Houston's best selection of solid wood, made in America furniture, name brand mattresses, 100% real top grain leather and upholstered living room styles, one of a kind market samples, and so much more. Plus, you'll find Gallery Furniture's lowest prices ever on quality pieces for every room in your home, including sofas starting at $399, dining sets as low as $599, Sealy queen-size mattresses starting at $599, and more. Don't miss your chance to enjoy these incredible summer savings at Gallery Furniture. And as always, when you shop Gallery Furniture today, you can have your quality purchases delivered straight to your Houston area home within hours when you choose same-day delivery. You can also visit them at galleryfurniture.com. All right, jumping back into the program on this Tuesday, June 18th. This is Locked on Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. We spent segment one trying to defuse a bit of a bombshell this afternoon that appeared on Yahoo Sports for saying that Chris Paul and James Harden's relationship appeared to be unsalvageable, and at one point saying Chris Paul demanded a trade after the playoff loss to the Warriors. I think it's pretty clear that the Rockets have pushed back very strongly on this, including Chris Paul himself. And as for me personally, someone that has media access behind the scenes, I have not seen anything even remotely close to what Vince Goodwill at Yahoo Sports alleges. So I think that's pretty easy to move past, and I don't think it's going to really impact any Houston pursuits, be it coaches, free agents, whatever it may be. I think Vince Goodwill didn't make it up. I think he was just fed bad intel by someone with an agenda, and he didn't double check it closely enough or get on the ground in Houston to the extent that I would like to think someone would before running a story with these types of allegations. Fortunately for Houston, I don't really think it's going to affect them that negatively, because even if there was a coach or a player that the Rockets are trying to either sign, or in the case of coaches, add them beneath Mike D'Antoni, I don't see anyone being impacted by these rumors because they can go directly to the source. James Harden, Chris Paul, Daryl Morey, we don't have access. So yeah, there's a lot of people on NBA Twitter who will look at a random story on Yahoo Sports and make some conclusions based on it because they can't just run to the Rockets and get an answer or the sources themselves and ask them pointed questions. Guys that the Rockets are offering millions of dollars to, yeah, they can and will ask questions. And assuming Houston has the appropriate answers, then I don't think this story is going to be anything that negatively impacts them. One player that might be asking those questions, according to Stephen A. Smith, is Philadelphia swingman Jimmy Butler, who the Rockets have been pursuing the last couple of years. They never made it line up from a trade perspective, but with Jimmy potentially entering free agency in July, this is one case where he might have the leverage to help force a deal to Houston if that's what he wants. According to Stephen A. Smith, Butler and James Harden have been communicating tremendously, whatever that means, this offseason, and Butler is considering Houston as a destination. The Sixers can offer him a 5-year deal worth $190 million. But one area that the Rockets might have an opportunity here is because they followed through on their word to give Chris Paul a max contract after trading for him, basically getting him to opt in to the final year of his existing deal, a 1-year contract, and then giving Chris Paul, even though there were obvious injury concerns, they followed through on their word, even with a contract that's largely considered overpaid now. Well, the Rockets holding up their word there might pay off with Jimmy Butler this summer if he wants to come to Houston. At face value, it'd be a lot to give up. 1 year, $20 million, instead of 5 years, $190 million. At face value, that sounds silly. But then when you consider that the Rockets, beyond just saying, we'll give you this contract a year from now, the fact that they've actually done it and held their word in another case, and with Chris Paul, a guy who's a couple of years older than Chris Paul was when they made that trade 2 years ago, I think that's reason you could see Jimmy Butler give them the benefit of the doubt. Now, of course, Jimmy Butler will be asking James Harden and probably Chris Paul as well about the dynamics here. He'll take that into consideration to see if this is the fit. But if he's communicating with James, yeah, he's got a way better source than Vince Goodwill. So that's a perfect example of why I don't really think this story has the type of legs that would damage the Rockets on the market moving forward. Do I think it's viable? Yeah, I do. I've been mentioning this for a while, because if Philadelphia loses Jimmy Butler, assuming they keep Tobias Harris, they're not going to have cap room. And they gave up a lot of assets at the trade deadline for Tobias Harris. As long as he stays on top of Joel Embiid, and I believe they already have about $70 million committed no matter what for this coming season. If you keep Tobias Harris and then you factor in the cap holes, they've also got, I think, early bird rights to J.J. Redick. The point is, you're not going to have cap room at all. So in that case, if Jimmy Butler were to tell Philly, hey, I'm going to go elsewhere in free agency, maybe the Lakers, I don't know, anyone with cap room would work, then all of a sudden, getting Eric Gordon, it's a lot better scenario than getting nothing, especially for a team in the Sixers that with Embiid is built to win now. In fact, they were closer than anyone to beating the world champions, the Toronto Raptors, in the second round this year. They pushed them to Game 7. They are the only team to make Toronto face an elimination game. Not even the Bucks or the Warriors were able to do that. So that's a very good team in Philly, and it's a situation where a win-now piece like Eric Gordon, and if they make you throw in a draft pick or two, fine. But at the root element of it, Eric Gordon, a win-now piece, a good player that's 30 years old, would have a lot of value. Now, in a perfect world, I think maybe you'd keep EG and you would trade Capella, because for Jimmy Butler to facilitate a move to Houston, he would need to opt in. I don't think a sign-and-trade is very realistic, because if it's a sign-and-trade, his base salary would be somewhere $25, $30 million in year one. And then at that point, you'd have to give up both Eric Gordon and Clint Capella. And I'm not really sure from a talent, from an asset standpoint, if that makes sense for you. I think the play would be to have Jimmy opt in to the final year of his existing deal at about $20 million. very similar to what Chris Paul did 2 years ago, and then trade either Eric Gordon and Nene or Clint Capella and Nene. You can easily get within the 125% rule of that outgoing salary. That's where the math works. The question is, from an asset standpoint, even though the Sixers could use a backup center behind Embiid, I doubt they'd pay the cost and or deal with Capella, who after averaging 17 points and 13 boards as a 30-plus minutes per game player, and I doubt he'd even be happy to be a backup, let alone the Sixers being willing to pay it for a guy who, really, it's not like in this NBA, you can play two fives. It just doesn't work that way. So I doubt the Sixers would want Capella themselves. Maybe there's a scenario where you can send Capella to a third team, that team's assets to the Sixers, and then Jimmy Butler to Houston. That would be ideal. But if it's a two-team trade between the Sixers and the Rockets, Eric Gordon is the seamless fit. Because, of course, you can put him in one of the wing spots, replacing Jimmy Butler. And I think it's viable because the Sixers, they are built to win now. The only scenario where I could see them saying, well, maybe I don't want Eric Gordon, is if Tobias Harris walks as well. In that case, because they'd only have about $70, $75 billion on the books, you would have close to enough for a max salary slot. And at that point, they might say, hey, you know, we'd rather Jimmy go and we'll try our luck at offering the max at some of the free agents on the market. But as long as Tobias Harris stays, and all indications I've seen are that he plans to and that there's a good relationship there, as long as he stays in place, the Sixers aren't going to have cap room. So because of that, you're looking at Eric Gordon, who clearly is a good player. And on a one-year deal, there's no long-term commitment. If he plays well, you have his bird rights. And if he doesn't, then you can let him go after a year. It's just a matter, if they keep Tobias Harris, the Sixers have either nothing or Eric Gordon. I feel pretty confident they would prefer Eric Gordon, who's still a damn good player. I don't think he's as good as Jimmy Butler, but he's still a really good player. It's a better scenario for the Sixers than watching Jimmy leave for nothing. And there's no long-term commitment, even if they're not sold exactly how he's going to fit long-term, how he's going to age, whatever. Use him as a one-year Band-Aid, and for a team that's pretty much at the salary cap already, there's really nothing to lose. So that's why if Jimmy Butler wants to go to Houston, there is a path for him to do so. I really believe that the Sixers would do a deal with the Rockets rather than let him walk for nothing. This isn't like last year where we're talking about LeBron opting in and then you look at the contracts that the Cavaliers would have to take back and we all said, why would Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker make sense for a rebuilding Cleveland Cavaliers team? Multi-year contracts, veterans for a team that isn't going to win now. This is a one-year deal for a team that is going to win now. So I do think this would work. I know you'll see on social media, there's some Sixer fans who get their feelings hurt and they act like they wouldn't play ball, that they'd be tough. Well, yeah, they're fans. They're emotional. The organization has to look at it from a more practical standpoint. And in terms of the talent, it is clear that the Sixers would be a better team with Eric Gordon than with nothing. And they would be giving up zero in the way of current or long-term flexibility to add him. So this deal could get done. I firmly believe that. It is on Jimmy Butler. And while he could choose Houston, he is from Tomball, and there's been some Jimmy sightings in Houston the last few days, which is fun. And sure, he could be meeting with players or who knows, anyone around Houston. It could be just that he grew up in Tomball. He's got a lot of friends around here. So I wouldn't read too much into that necessarily. What I will say is that certainly there's some appeal to Jimmy, who's now in his 30s. It's his home. He's obviously got an established network here. He appears to have a close relationship with James Harden. We know from when he tore his MCL back in February of 2018, he was with Minnesota. Harden went to the Minnesota locker room after the game to check on him. They've got a good relationship. They've been communicating this summer. There aren't that many teams that can legitimately win an NBA title. Houston is one of them. Jimmy Butler has not won big yet. We've said in the past that the Rockets have been pretty far down the road with Jimmy, not just in terms of negotiating with other teams, but also Jimmy's camp themselves. Hunter Atkins of the Houston Chronicle, we had him on this very show a month ago, and he said that there was an understanding last fall between the Rockets and Jimmy's camp that if he came here, the Rockets would offer and he would accept another five-year contract. That's how far it was. Jimmy Butler did want to play here. The question is, does he want to play here more than Philadelphia? So in terms of the hurdles, even though the Rockets don't have cap room, we all understand that. They're well above it and they're in luxury tax territory. With that said, just like Chris Paul 2 years ago, it can happen via trade. It is certainly possible. The cold water I would put on all of this is that Philly is a tough situation to walk away from. For starters, they can offer the most money. 5 years, nobody else can offer that fifth year, $190 million. The most reasonable route, as we explained, to get Jimmy to Houston would be an opt in, well, he'd be giving up $170 million. That is a lot guaranteed to give up. Now, I know the Rockets, they proved that they'd hold up their word even with Chris Paul, and that's with Tillman Fertitta. So even if there were concerns about the new era of ownership, Fertitta held up his end of the bargain with CP3. That's encouraging. However, I can't blame someone for saying, hey, this is $190 guaranteed right now when I sign on the dotted line. Who knows what happens over the next year? I can't blame him if he says this is nearly 10 times the amount of guaranteed money. That's a lot. And besides that, Philly is every bit the contender that Houston is. Yeah, I believe the Rockets are a top five team, maybe even top two or three in the NBA. Well, guess what? So are the Sixers. They're right up there. They took the Raptors to 7, which no one else did, not even the Bucks or the Warriors. The Sixers are really good. It's a huge market. They offer the most money. Joel Embiid is a stud, and he's young. What we don't know is the exact dynamics in the locker room. How does Butler feel about his teammates there? We also don't know exactly how much appeal Houston as his home has. Maybe the relationship between James Harden and Jimmy Butler is stronger than we even know. I think 2 years ago, none of us really appreciated until after the fact just how close James Harden and Chris Paul were, that they had been communicating for months, which is another reason why this story that they're beefing to the extent that Vince Goodwill alleges seems ridiculous to me. I'm not saying there's no case for Jimmy Butler to pick Houston, but it would have to be one in which personal factors play a huge role, that he just trusts James Harden a lot more than that cast of characters in Philly, or that he just really wants to be in Houston, Texas, or Tom Ball for that matter. There would have to be something besides just the basketball. That's what makes it complicated, because when you look at it, Philly and Houston are fairly comparable situations in that both are big markets, both are pretty close to winning a title. You can mount optimism for either scenario. In fact, the Sixers might even have a brighter long-term future over the next 5 or 6 years because Joel Embiid is several years younger than James Harden. It's hard to see why, with the two situations being so similar, that Butler would give up $190 million guaranteed, assuming that's what the Sixers are willing to offer, and we've heard from Brian Windhorst and a few other sources this month that they are, for $20 million or so from Houston and a promise a year from now. I wouldn't write it off, because if he were to choose to do that, I think the mechanisms for a trade, it makes no sense for the Philadelphia 76ers to turn down Eric Gordon. This isn't one of those situations where fans say, well, why would you rather nothing than this? Because in the reality, a lot of teams would prefer nothing because of cap consequences, or maybe they're tanking, they're not trying to win, whatever it may be. No, this is the case. Eric Gordon makes a ton of sense for the Sixers, maybe even a Clint Capella package if you could route him through a third team and you see what he gets on the market, that type of thing. The question is there enough of a pull to get Jimmy Butler to choose to prioritize wanting to be in Houston over Philadelphia? Maybe his relationship with James Harden. Maybe it's the city, the region. Maybe there's some connection with Daryl Morey, Mike D'Antoni that we aren't really aware of. That, to me, is the question. If Jimmy Butler wants to be in Houston, and we've heard from Stephen A. Smith, who I do trust on matters of player communication in the NBA, that Butler and James Harden are in communication, if Butler wants to be a Rocket, I absolutely believe, even with the Rockets not having cap room, that there is a path for Jimmy to get here. The question is, will he like Houston so much more than Philadelphia that he's willing to give up a contract with nearly 10 times more, $190 million guaranteed, than the $20 million that he'd get by opting into the final year of his existing deal in Houston? Now, the Rockets can promise that they'll give him a $160 million deal next summer and nearly equal it out, especially with the tax benefits in Texas. They can promise being at home. They can promise James Harden the MVP of the league. There's a lot of selling points for Houston. The question, is it enough? It sounds like we'll find out in the days ahead, because, of course, the most reasonable route for Jimmy to get to Houston, it's for him to opt in the same way that Chris Paul did a year ago. And the opt-in deadline, I believe, is June 29th. So within the next 10 days, if this is going to happen, Jimmy Butler will need to opt in. Will that happen? Stay tuned. Now, I'll talk about one more free agency possibility. It's a long shot, but one today that got a little more realistic, that being Al Horford, in our third and final segment coming up. But for now, I want to tell you guys a little bit about our friends and sponsors over at Twillery. Because with Twillery, smart casual just got smarter and cheaper. Twillery is built on a century-old family manufacturing business. They make millions of shirts a year for leading brands, and they leverage those contacts and their team's technical know-how to keep costs down while maintaining high standards in quality and craftsmanship. Their view is that shirts shouldn't wrinkle, itch, or sweat. Because it's 2019, these guys know that shirts are a commodity, and they make stocking up your closet as simple as restocking beer in your fridge. Easy, affordable, and the perfect fit, guaranteed. They offer non-iron, untuckable, and performance stretch shirts, and with free shipping and returns, you can try on some Twills risk-free. After all, feeling is believing. Twillery brings performance work shirts to the next level with four-way stretch material that shuts down wrinkles, stops sweat, and keeps you looking and feeling cool. Best of all, it's the top value in smart workwear. With the shop and bundle model, you all have access to shirts that competitors are selling for $100 and up for as low as $55 per shirt. Grab yourself some today at Twillery.com/LockedOn and use the promo code LockedOn for $25 off. That's all from our friends over at Twillery, who you can visit at Twillery.com/LockedOn. That's Twillory. And don't forget to use that promo code LockedOn for an extra $25 off on anything in their complete line of apparel. All right, finishing up our show on this Tuesday, June 18th here at Lockdown Rockets. I'm Ben Dubose. We're looking at the free agency rumors of the day. Jimmy Butler, possibility of him going to Houston. He's been in talks with James Harden. Outlined in segment two, the challenges of a deal getting him from Philadelphia to Houston. Not so much, in my opinion, about convincing the Sixers should he want to leave. I think there's a pretty clear path for the Rockets to get a deal done on that front. Question is, would Jimmy Butler give up the money to get to Houston? We also, or at least guaranteed money, he could make it up a year from now, but of course, that's a lot of patience to ask on his part. We also, back in segment one, looked at the Chris Paul storyline, what I consider to be a largely overblown report from Vince Goodwill of Yahoo Sports that Chris Paul allegedly demanded a trade, has an unsalvageable relationship with James Harden, yada yada. The Rockets, including CP3, Daryl Morey, have pushed back on this very strongly. I have seen nothing as someone that's at Toyota Center relentlessly during the season, nothing that I have seen suggest anything that's in that article. So at this point, barring more information coming out, you can't write it off, but I find it very, very unlikely. There's one final storyline of Tuesday with no direct relevance to the Rockets, but one I would say to keep your eyes on in the days ahead, and that's the future of Boston free agent-to-be Al Horford. Horford opting out of the final year of his $30 million contract for next season. Instead, he'll become a free agent, and the odds are he'll look for a longer deal, maybe 3 years, $50 to $60 million, something like that, in which even though he gets a lower figure next year, he'll get more money guaranteed on the back end because Al Horford's 33 now, he'll be 34 next summer, and he may not want to play the market a year from now and risk what happens if this is the year where maybe there's not as much money on the market, maybe there's some decline or injury in his game. Who knows? He wants more security, and at his age, just as Chris Paul a year ago, it makes sense for him to pursue that. In the story, and it was broken by Adrian Wojnarowski at ESPN, it says that he's opting out, but both Horford and the Celtics plan on negotiating a new deal. I think that's the plan. Just like the Celtics plan on retaining Kyrie Irving, or at least attempting to. If that does not happen, you do have to wonder if there's a scenario where Al Horford could fit more in Houston than he does in Boston. And conversely, the Houston center, Clint Capella, does he fit better in Boston than he does in Houston? Because Al Horford at 33, there are not that many truly win-now teams in the NBA. Maybe there'll be a few more now that the Warriors have all this uncertainty, but I don't know how many teams would truly go for a player at that price level. Now, sure, there's always a market for veterans like Vince Carter, but that's because they'll play for a lower amount. How many teams that are rebuilding will actually want to pay a 33, 34-year-old Al Horford, and in this case into his mid-30s, $20-plus million a year or close to it on average? I'm not sure. The long-term contract will scare away a lot of suitors. So I don't think outside of Boston that he would have all that much interest. And there's a link. This is not just speculation. When he was last a free agent in July of 2016, his first meeting was with the Houston Rockets. His dad has a lot of connections to the Houston area, and after he chose Boston at the time, the Celtics were just a little bit of a better, more secure bet to win. That was the unfortunate year where the Rockets did not get a meeting with Durant, in part because they finished 41-41, the last year of the Dwight Howard partnership with James Harden here in Houston. It kind of hurt their perception at the time. Rockets pivoted to their secondary targets, Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, and of course began their climb there, getting Chris Paul the next summer, and we know what's happened since then. Al Horford was a target of the Rockets. There were ties between not just him personally, but his family to Houston, and We learned later that year, and I've retweeted this story on my timeline earlier today, at Ben Dubose on Twitter, Al Horford said it was one of the hardest things he had to do that summer, telling his dad that he was not coming to Houston. He said the Rockets' pitch was impressive. His dad wanted him to go there. Boston was just a little bit better, and in part, as I said, they just had a more ready-made roster based on perceptions of the league at that time to win. So I understand why he chose Boston, but clearly Houston was in the mix. There are ties between Horford and his family to the Houston area, the Rockets organization, and why would Houston consider it? Yeah, I know the top-line stats are worse than Clint Capela, but the value of a true elite defender at the center spot, which he is, his man defense, his rim protection, even if he's not a shot blocker, he's such a good defender on offense. He's a good three-point shooter, shooting upper 30s% from behind the arc. So to have a truly dynamite defender in the middle and a guy, just look at Brook Lopez in the box, how much value there is having a pick-and-pop five. That's something that even though he's older, I could see the Rockets having a lot of intrigue in. Yes, he's 33. He's not going to be around forever. But guess what? The Rockets know that after another 4 or 5 years at the most, they're going to have to rebuild. So with James Harden turning 30, Chris Paul 34, PJ Tucker 34, Al Horford makes sense being in that same window. And if they keep Eric Gordon, he's 30. Or if you trade for Jimmy Butler, he's in that same age range. And the reason it might make sense for Boston, I firmly believe Horford's been a good player with the Celtics. And I firmly believe that right now, Danny Ainge and the Celtics, they're planning their ideal scenario. They want to keep him. And I believe that despite the current reports, they are trying to keep Kyrie Irving. I know there's been a lot of reports that he and Brooklyn are close. Well, there's no real basketball reason for Kyrie to go to Brooklyn. Boston's pretty much the same type of market. I mean, I guess Brooklyn is, certainly New York is bigger than Boston, but you also have two teams there. Point is, the Celtics, they're every bit as big, and in terms of the landscape, they're probably even bigger because they're much more prestigious, the franchise. In terms of winning now, there's much more pieces in Boston than there is in Brooklyn. Now, maybe Kyrie has other ideas. He's fairly young. He certainly seems to be a very unique guy in terms of what his interests are. So perhaps he doesn't do the conventional thing. But the conventional thing is staying in Boston because it's the more prestigious franchise. It's the one that's been winning more the last couple of years. And it's the one that, because he's their player and they have bird rights, they can offer more money. So I think right now they think that they can get Kyrie Irving back. And until he's gone, they're going to work on him. Because it really makes no sense for Kyrie Irving to leave the Celtics or the Nets. That just typically does not happen. If that does, however, and it's not done yet, but if the Celtics, and they're supposed to be having a meeting with Kyrie this week, if they accept that he's gone, at that point, how much sense does it make to have the final prime years at 33, 34, 35 of Al Horford? I know he's a nice guy and he's a stabilizing presence, but you're not going to be winning or competing for a title immediately with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown as truly the lead dogs. You're going to be, at that point, if Kyrie leaves, having to reboot, and of course they've still got some good draft picks, some young prospects, those types of things, you're going to be having to reboot for 2-3 years down the road. In that case, Clint Capela at 25 might make more sense for the Celtics because he's in the same demographic, the same age range as Jason Tatum, as Jaylen Brown, and you can grow with that young group together. I'm not saying that Capela is an upgrade for them over Horford. I think Horford is the better player, and I know what the top-line stats are, but again, Horford's value goes far and beyond just traditional points, rebounds, and blocks when you factor in his high IQ, his man defense, his shooting, those types of factors. I think the Rockets would clearly be a better team with Al Horford at the center spot, and that's why they were willing to offer him max money back in the summer of 2016. The question is, why would the Celtics do that? I don't think they want to do it. But if Kyrie Irving leaves, I could see from an age standpoint, especially if the Rockets throw in picks, we know Danny Ainge likes that, they might consider it. And I do think it's an upgrade for the Rockets. Again, it's nothing that I have heard concrete at this point. It's just putting a few dots together. You look at the Celtics' age range, their likelihood of having to reboot a bit if Kyrie Irving leaves, the fact that they can't really contend now, the fact that the Rockets can, and there's some discontent with Capela after the Warriors matchup. We know they're at least considering other options, and we know they've liked Horford in the past, and that Horford has shown at least some affinity for the Houston area and the Rockets organization. I wouldn't bet a lot of money on it. I don't think it's the front burner. I think at the moment that's Jimmy Butler. I would just say this is one that I'm watching, because especially in terms of the contracts, you could line this up pretty easily. If he takes that type of 3-year, $50 million, $55 million deal, his year one salary would be something like $17 million. That's awfully close to what Clint Capella is being made. You might could even do a one-for-one trade. Now, the difficulty in that, of course, if you accept a signed and traded player, which in this case the Celtics would be doing to Horford using their bird rights to sign and ship him to Houston, it would hard cap the Rockets at the apron level, and that's pretty difficult for a team that's already in luxury tax territory, so it'd be close. You'd have to really look at the rest of your roster and see what you can do. But at the end of the day, I don't see the Rockets passing on if they view Horford as a star-level player, and even though his stats don't show it, I think the Rockets see him from an impact standpoint as that type of guy. I don't see the Rockets passing it up if he's available because, oh, they'd be hard-capped, and that might prevent them from having a minimum signing during the season if they need it, something like that. I think it'd be a nuisance, and they'd have to take a hard look at maybe some little things they could do this summer to shed salary and get a little bit of wiggle room before the hard cap. It wouldn't be fun, but I also don't think that the hard cap would derail a deal. If you're talking about a star, we know how Daryl Morey prioritizes. He will get the star and worry about the rest later. The rest, in this case, the hard cap, it'd be a nuisance, but if it's talking about a difference maker of Al Horford's caliber, yeah, I think the Rockets would do a deal and worry about everything else later. Now, again, I don't think it's anywhere close to happening. I think the smart money is on Horford staying in Boston, as Woj says is the plan right now. I also think there's a better chance than people think that Kyrie Irving ends up being talked into staying in Boston, because it just doesn't make sense, in my opinion, from a basketball standpoint, from a financial standpoint, any of those reasons for him to leave for Brooklyn. So I would be a bit surprised if the last 10 days of the month, we hear that Boston turns around with Kyrie, and thus they're able to bring Horford back in the fold. Everything makes sense, and they try to make one more run at things with what they have, and of course continue developing their young prospects, their picks moving forward. They have a lot of really positive assets to build on, both from the draft and internally. Also, they have a lot of trade assets. Brad Stevens, a really good coach. I wouldn't be surprised if Danny Ainge salvages this, because they put a lot of resources and capital into building around Kyrie Irving. But if he can't, just something to keep an eye on. If the Celtics can't keep Kyrie, all of a sudden, in my opinion, Al Horford makes a lot more sense for the Rockets than he does the Celtics. And I think Clint Capella might make more sense for the Celtics, given his age, than Al Horford does. And if you combine a few draft picks and put them in there to kind of incentivize Danny Ainge a little bit more, yeah, it wouldn't shock me if there's a deal to be had. That's just me speculating. But when you combine the Rockets' interest in Horford in the past and vice versa, it's something to think about as we get closer to July 1st. I think Jimmy Butler is on the front burner because he's someone. If the Rockets are going to get Jimmy, it'd be in late June, not July. It's something that would have to happen first, like Chris Paul. He'd have to opt in. So to me, Jimmy Butler is the clear front burner right now. But beyond that, if you don't get him, or maybe even if you do, who knows? Either way, I do think Al Horford, depending on circumstances in Boston, could be a focus for the Rockets later on. Will it happen? As always, this time of year, stay tuned. Anyway, I think that'll about do it for tonight's show here at Locked On Rockets. As always, I appreciate you guys so much for listening. And if you want more content before our next show later in the week, there are, of course, many ways for you to get that. First and foremost is Twitter, where I'm on there at Ben Dubose, and the show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Beyond that, we've got a website, LockedOnRockets.com, Facebook account at Facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. All of those are ways you can access prior episodes, or you can ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, those types of things. Before we go, I do want to once again thank and acknowledge our great sponsors, and keep in mind that if you support these guys, you're also helping us grow here at Locked On Rockets as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. One of those sponsors, of course, is Gallery Furniture, where the Red Hot Summer Sale is now in full swing. Visit any Houston area Gallery Furniture location or go to galleryfurniture.com to take advantage of all the specials. You can also take advantage of specials with our friends over at Twillery, where if you go to twillery.com/lockedon, you can use the promo code LOCKEDON for $25 off on their entire line of apparel. And in addition to supporting our sponsors, please remember that to get this show every day, you can and should subscribe to Locked On Rockets on Himalaya's new podcast app. In this ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlist and new features each and every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Rockets. Of course, you can also listen and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more, and I encourage you to leave 5-star reviews wherever you can. And when you get in your car or you go to the gym, you can even tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Rockets and listen to our most recent episodes that way as well. Once again, I'm Ben Dubose. Thanks to all of you for listening, and please come back soon for more episodes right here at Locked On Rockets, your podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.